Doug admitted it with a shrug. Can't be helped. There's no space inside the base to work on it. The main garage? Is the ceiling high enough? I checked. Ceiling's okay. We can just about squeeze her in. But there's not enough room for the LTV when all the tractors are inside.
But at least half of them are left outside, usually, said Brudnoy.
Shaking his head, Doug told him, I know. I asked Greg about it, but he just scrolled up the regulations on his screen. The main garage has got to be able to house all the tractors in an emergency.
What kind of emergency? Brudnoy asked.
Solar flare, Bianca and Doug answered in unison.
So your technicians will have to spend an hour getting into spacesuits and then walk or ride half a mile past the rocket port to work on our LTV, said Brudnoy.
They can work in their shirt sleeves once they're inside the dome, Doug pointed out.
Brudnoy sighed. And then spend another hour getting back into their suits to go home again.
Doug spread his hands helplessly.
What else can we do, Liv?
You know how much work it takes to carve out extra space underground. We can't blast out the space we need with plasma torches. It'd take too long and too much effort. The dome's our best bet.
I presume you've run all the numbers through your computer, Brudnoy said dryly.
Frontwards and backwards, said Doug. I've gone through every option I could think of. The dome's our best choice.
I just hate all that extra work of getting into the suits, the Russian muttered.
It's the pre-breathing that takes most of the time, Bianca said. If the suits ran at the same pressure that the base does, we could zip into them in half the time.
Well, they don't, said Doug,
and it takes time to breathe the excess nitrogen out of your system.
Brudnoy's pouchy eyes looked even sadder than usual.
With a grin, Doug added, When I'm director of Moonbase, I'll start our people working on suits that run at normal base pressure, so you'll be able to hop into them in a couple of minutes.
Bianca shook her head. You'd think after all these years, somebody would have already done that.
Not much need for it, said Doug.
What kind of an emergency could come up so suddenly that you need to jump into a suit in a few minutes?
Brudnoy nodded. True enough. I've been here more than 20 years, and I've never seen such an emergency.
Doug nodded.
On the other hand, the Russian went on, it's going to slow down our work tremendously. Isn't there some way we can put up a pressurized access tube to the dome?
A mile-long tube? Bianca asked.
Wait, said Doug. Why don't we pressurize one of the tractors? Couldn't we put the crew module from the LTV itself onto a tractor? That way we can take 3 or 4 people at a time out to the dome in their shirt sleeves.
Yeah, Bianca cheered. That could work.
Brudnoy was more reserved.
Check it out on your computer, my friend. Don't celebrate until the engineering program tells us it can be done.
It's good to see you again, Greg, said Melissa.
It's been a long time, he said, staring at her from behind his desk. She looks awful, Greg thought. Her face is still beautiful, but it's like a death mask, a skull. Her skin is stretched so tight over the bones it's a wonder she can open her mouth. And she's so thin, as if she's been a prisoner of war all these years. She wore a shapeless gray pantsuit, its jacket falling halfway to her knees. When she sat in front of Greg's desk and crossed her long legs, he saw that the trousers ended in stirrups that looped under her weighted boots. It was Melissa's eyes that frightened Greg. He saw fury in them. Hot red rage. He remembered the last time he had been with Melissa, when he had told her they were through. Her eyes were red then, too, but with tears and pleading. I turned my back on her, and she's never forgiven me for it, Greg realized. All these years, she's been hating me. He turned to his mother, sitting beside Melissa. Joanna was outwardly cool and controlled, but Greg knew that she was just as tense as he was. He could see it in the way Joanna was nervously fingering the ends of the flowered silk scarf she was wearing. Greg had to swallow before he could bring his voice back.
I understand that you're working for Rashid now, with the new corporation.
Melissa's chin dipped a bare centimeter.
That's right.
Greg opened his mouth again, but no words came out. He didn't know what to say. He looked up at the ceiling, menacingly low. Joanna prompted,
Rashid's pushing the fusion program, isn't he?
I'm not here to talk to you two about Rashid or his programs or anything like that, Melissa said, her eyes flaring.
Then what? Asked Joanna.
She focused those laser beam eyes on Greg.
This is the man who abandoned me, she thought, staring at him. The man I begged to stay with me. The man I thought I loved. The man whose child I was going to have.
A wave of self-loathing swept over her, made her shudder visibly.
I pleaded with him. I got down on my knees and begged him, and he turned his back on me. He walked away, the cold-hearted son of a bitch. He knew I was pregnant with his baby, and he just walked away from both of us. Murder, she whispered.
I murdered my own baby. You made me do it, the two of you. You threw me out like so much garbage. I aborted the baby. I committed murder.
What are you talking about? Joanna demanded.
Greg knew. Melissa pointed a skeletal finger at him.
You murdered Paul Stavanger. You used nanomachines to kill him.
That's nonsense, Joanna snapped.
Is it?
Greg couldn't answer. He couldn't speak. He gripped the armrests of his swivel chair and stared in growing horror at Melissa.
It's all coming back. It's all rising up again, all around me, walling me in, smothering me.
I have Jack Killifer's sworn statement, Melissa was saying, her voice cold and hard as ice. He gave you a sample of nanomachines that attacked long-chain carbon molecules. Gobblers, he called them.
Joanna blustered.
That doesn't mean...
You put them in with the nanomachines that Paul was using up here on the moon, didn't you, Greg?
They killed Paul and two other men.
My husband died in an accident, Joanna insisted. He was murdered by your son, and I can prove it.
That, Greg choked out the words, that was, for God's sake, that was 20 years ago almost. Melissa smiled thinly.
There's no statute of limitations on murder.
You haven't got a shred of evidence, Joanna said. Even if this Killifer person gave Greg a set of nanomachines, what of it? You can't prove murder in a court of law.
Can't I? Criminal courts have become much tougher over the past few years.
We'll have the best lawyers in the world.
Fine. Hire all the lawyers you want. A big scandalous trial will be perfect.
The public will love to watch the two of you week after week. It'll be the entertainment highlight of the year.
Two of us? Joanna asked.
You aided and abetted your son, Mrs. Stavanger, didn't you? Accessory after the fact.
Now wait, Greg started. Melissa silenced him with a glance.
Mrs. Stavanger, it was you who covered up the evidence of the murders. It was you who sent Jack Killifer to Moonbase so he wouldn't be available to tell anyone what he'd done until nearly 20 years afterward.
You can't be serious, Joanna said.
I've never been more serious in my life, Melissa replied.
The murderer's son and his accomplice mother. Think how that's going to look on video back home.
Greg stared at her. The bitch is trying to ruin my life. She's trying to ruin both our lives. He thought how easy it would be to get up from this chair, walk around the desk, and snap her neck like a brittle stick. Then he gasped with the sudden realization that Doug had ordered Killifer out of Moonbase.
And I let him do it.
Greg raged at himself.
Doug knew exactly what he was doing. He knew Killifer would testify against me once he got back to Earth. He's been against me from the very beginning. Doug, Melissa, all of them.
Joanna took a deep breath, then asked Melissa,
What do you want?
Justice, said Melissa.
And what do you think would be just in this case?
Melissa turned away from Joanna's cool gray-green eyes to look squarely at Greg once again.
Shut down Moonbase, she said flatly. Put an end to all the nanotechnology you're using here.
Greg blinked at her. And what else?
Melissa shook her head. First things first. I want an end to this evil of nanotechnology. An end to this place where rich people can escape the problems of Earth.
With a shaky laugh, Greg asked, That's all? Just shut down Moonbase?
And any nanotech operations you might have elsewhere, Melissa said.
And for that, you'll forget about this murder business?
He couldn't believe it.
Melissa smiled again, this time showing teeth.
Oh no, Greg.
You misunderstood me.
Moonbase has to be shut down. But you'll still have to stand trial for murder.